Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
So I just wanted to ask, how do you build trust across time zones when you work remotely?
Sure. So first of all, we've been remote now for the duration of Design Rush since we started. So that was about a year ago, which was pre-COVID as well. So it's been an all remote company and a global company from day one. It's always a give and take. So I need to be able to give trust as well as I need to be able to receive trust. I don't really like this hierarchical structure where like there are certain things that you can say or you cannot say to managers and so on. So I do appreciate people that give me feedback as well. It's important to communicate both positive and negative, because the negative as well can teach us how to not make the same mistake again, or how maybe to see different viewpoint that can help you say something that you come out in the wrong way or in a different way. So, and ultimately, it's the monetary reward. If someone does a great job, someone is excellent, someone can overcome big challenges, they also need to be rewarded also with facts.
You're tuned into the Active Action Podcast. Step into a world of engaging conversations with leading experts, where every episode is your chance to learn, grow, and stay inspired. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Visit our website activeaction.fm for more information and to explore all episodes. Don't forget to check our merchandise for exciting goodies at activeaction.shop. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode.
Hello, welcome back to another episode of the Active Action Podcast. It's me, your host, Dr. Nazif, back again with another episode with another awesome guest. Just wanted to take this moment to acknowledge my dear listeners listening to the podcast, sharing your valuable feedback, which is always very helpful to improve the podcast. We launched our premium supporters program. So if you do become a premium supporter, you will get access to personal and professional development articles and strategy guides prepared by our expert consultants and lots of other exclusive features. To join, visit activeaction.fm/supporter. We also launched our Active Action Podcast merchandise. So we do have a clothing line and other goodies. If you want to check them out, feel free to visit activeaction.shop. So let's begin into our episode today. Today, we will be talking to Gianluca, and we'll be talking about leadership lessons from managing a global remote team, which Gianluca will share with us through his experience. Just wanted to provide a bit background of who our esteemed guest today is. So Gianluca is a seasoned digital marketer with over 10 years of experience. Starting out with PPC, he effectively expanded his expertise to include search engine optimization, sales, business development, and product. He is currently the general manager at Design Rush, where he leads a team of over 100 professionals. He also oversees the business operation of Design Rush and develops strategies that achieves business goals. In just a few years, he grew the company's agency network to over 30,000, making it one of the leading B2B marketplaces that connect businesses with agencies. So I'm sure, dear audiences, that Gianluca is going to share his words of wisdom. We can definitely benefit you taking those advice, especially if you're managing team from a remote place or doing that remotely. This episode would be very helpful for you. So without further ado, let's begin this episode. Thank you so much, Gianluca, for joining today's podcast. How are you doing this morning?
First of all, thanks for having me here. Thanks, Dr. Nazif. And yeah, all good. It's a lovely morning. So yeah, pretty happy to be here on your podcast.
Thank you. Do you want to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I've been in the world of marketing for over 10 years now. That's also my background studies. I'm an expert in SEO because in the last 8 years or so, right, I've been growing DesignRush. I joined when we were 3 or 4 employees, started with a founder. And after a year or so, we're about 10 of us took over and grew a site. Basically, when I was there at the beginning, the site had very little value. And now we grew it to over 2 million in traffic value. Basically.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, we did a good job there. And that's basically professionally spent my career doing that. And privately and personally, I live in Portugal. I'm Italian.
Okay.
But here about the years ago. Mm-hmm. I have done. And yeah, I'm happy here. So that's why I'm probably going to stay for a few more years for sure. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that introduction, Luca. And so we would be talking about from your experience in the business on how to manage leadership that you were able to do very successfully, as we heard, building your team, making it to a global platform, connecting businesses to agencies. So I would just want to ask you this question, because when you're working in a remote environment and working across different time zones, there are people that need to connect across the world at different variable times. And there is also, when you like not meeting people in front, not face-to-face, remotely, that connection, how you build that really matters. So I just want to ask, how do you build trust across time zones when you work remotely?
Sure. So first of all, we've been remote now for the duration of DesignRush since we started. So that was about a year ago, which was pre-COVID as well. So it's been an all remote company and a global company from day one. Also, when people weren't really aware of how this worked before COVID, it seemed a little abstract to many people. So we've been doing this for a long time, and there's always to learn and how to improve remote working. In terms of trust, I would say that at the beginning, it's hard to trust, right? So it's important that both on both sides, the employer and the employee, there are clear KPIs, and there are a clear understanding of what the job entails and how you can invest in the job. It's more of a result-oriented approach where I don't want to be there and sort of time how long are you in front of the computer or not, but rather we agree on goals, we agree on a roadmap, and we work through these tasks, goals, and everything that we set. Also, it's important that people are accountable and take ownership of what they do. That kind of sets apart the great professionals from the ones that are not on the same level or not the cultural. And so I would say that the very beginning is the hardest to break through and to actually be speaking about trust.
Right.
If those few first months where the expectations are set and both sides are holding their part of the promise, right, on what we need to deliver, that's where trust starts. Because at that point, the employee in that sense, or even the manager, the team lead, okay, will have more freedom and autonomy, because that's what we're looking for in our employees, someone that can thrive and be autonomous. Mm-hmm. And then over time, there is a strengthening of this trust. And there is also, it's always a give and take. So I need to be able to give trust, as well as I need to be able to receive trust, and this goes for me and for the employees. And
right.
Yeah.
I really appreciate your thought that when you mentioned to build that trust when we're working remotely on different time zones. I know when you're working with people, it's also important to have build those connections and make your employees feel valued. What strategies do you follow? What do you do to ensure that? Or how can a business owner, when they're working remotely with their employees, can make them feel valued?
Sure. Yeah, I think like anything, it doesn't matter if it's a remote setup or if it's in the office, everyone will be feeling valued. So what is important is that we're saying when someone is doing a good thing, if there is someone that is exceeding at their work, I'm the first one to congratulate the person individually, also in front of everyone, and acknowledge the work that they are doing and the effort that they're bringing. I also appreciate, that's something I do, but I also like to receive, to be put on the same level. I don't really like this hierarchical structure where like, there are certain things that you can say or you cannot say to managers and so on. So I do appreciate people that give me feedback as well. And that's sort of how I would like to set up the relationship that I have with every employee. It's important to communicate both positive and negative, because the negative as well can teach us how to not make the same mistake again, or how maybe to see different viewpoint that can help you say something that you come out in the wrong way or in a different way. So, and ultimately, it's the monetary reward. If someone does a great job, someone is excellent, someone can overcome big challenges, they also need to be rewarded also with facts. And that's very important. So that helps. Now, also reconnecting back to the different time zones, what we usually do is we work on sort of middle ground solution, and especially for me and the leadership, meaning I would say European times, because we need to branch also Asia times and we need to branch Americans times. And then depending on where the employee is based or their responsibility in the company, they also have different timings. But ultimately, everyone overlaps for about 4 to 6 hours. Mm-hmm. And the managers are the one that overlap the most with me and with the rest of the teams. And then each individual team, based on their needs and priorities, have different times. But we never want to have a situation where an employee is going to be working completely on their own for the 8-hour shift. And that's something we'll do, because it's important, as I said, communication. Communication, if you have a problem, communication, if you need help, communication, if you need to bring something up that is important to your team leader, manager, people need to be present, and we need to have enough time to be effective and work together as a team. So that's very important.
Thank you so much for those wonderful words of wisdom, Gianluca. And I also wanted to ask you one question. Working remotely at different time zones sometimes can cause stress or burnout. Once that you're not having communication from face-to-face, but you're doing it online. But then again, maintaining the different time zones that the different employees are in. What do you do to prevent that burnout?
Yeah, that's a good question, because it's normal and everyone knows that you end up working more just because you're home and you're in front of your computer and you don't need to commute from place to place. We are all aware of the situation. I would say I'm the first one to tell my employees to self-manage. That's important.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Because with the different time zones, it's really easy that a manager or even an employee reaches back to a manager without minding what time it is in a different zone. I don't blame anyone for this, because I understand that it's day for you. Probably you need to send a message. You don't want to forget about something and now you just send it out. So I think for as much as we have rules in place and we have times for each department, shifts and all of that, being able to self-manage, compartmentalize, understand, like if I receive something, let's say Are we saving a life, right? Is that something that you need to tackle right now? If not, just ignore, because that's not important. If it's something important, then I do expect also that people are responsible. So they understand if, do I need to get off bed to do this? Probably most of the time, no, right? So like, it's about, again, self-managing, right? And understanding that. I keep repeating this to everyone because, as I said, for as many rules as you can set, like, you are in charge of yourself, right? And you make your own decisions. So, yeah.
Can you share from your experience, like, some of the best practices for scheduling meetings and setting realistic expectations for availability and response time?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, in general, I like to work with professionals that are relatively quick on the trigger, because we live in a world that is really fast moving and competitive. I do also, when it comes to meetings, there are different opinions on scheduling meetings. I prefer to have a chat that send email and misunderstand each other. I understand there that other people would say, you can do this through an email, so you don't need to schedule a meeting. So I do try and tend to be in the middle. If I it's through email, I would. If I believe it's important to have a chat, I'd rather schedule a meeting. Now, when would I schedule a meeting? Well, when do I think a chat is important? Yeah. When you start a new project, when you need to align with multiple stakeholders, or when you need to have a checkpoint of work that's been done for a week or 2 weeks, depending on what the task was. These moments are crucial in order to understand if expectations, perspectives are aligned. And so that's what I like to do. Now, when it comes to individual departments and the day-to-day, I also encourage every department to start with a morning meeting and evening meeting. Why? Because it's sometimes what we call common sense is not really like the same for everyone. And I realized that you might say, let's talk about sales, for example. You want to look at the pipeline and the clients that you're going to have, or you spoke to yesterday, you're going to speak to today, if anyone replied, if any new update on any deals. And even just going through the deals, each potential client that you are in talks with, remind yourself, a rehearsal, understand what is the deal that you have there, and even it can open you up to new opportunities or ideas, something that you haven't paid attention to. When you're doing in front of multiple people, it could be your sales team. If you work in a team, people can give you ideas, your team members. And can be, hey, have you tried to do that? Or I did this, it works for me. So able to cover it every day and every morning, it really, and if you're doing it focused, and if everyone in that room is, can really help you do a better job. So I agree with that.
I really appreciate those tips and tricks. And I'm sure our audiences would also have learned something new, and they can potentially apply those strategies in they're working with their employees as well. So really appreciate it, Gianluca. I now wanted to talk about the importance of clear communication, because this is something that resolves around when we are doing freelancing work or when we're working on a particular business with a team. That clear communication process is very important. And because if you don't have clear communication, the employees won't understand what your expectations are, or they won't be just able to deliver the work effectively. I want to ask you, can you kindly talk about the role of clear and effective communication in remote teams, and how do you achieve that?
Sure. So what I usually do, and it really helps, is first of all, if we discuss a new task, I like to sit down and show it. So I share my screen. I show exactly what I need to do. Let's say I need to open an Excel, I need to fill out with some data, I need to do a pivot table. So I show what I need to do with the data that we have to work with. And then I ask if it's clear, if there's any questions, and the person that should execute, the person that is responsible for, ask them to do in front of me. So they can share and show me if they understood what they need to do.
Right.
What that step is completed, I would expect to receive the task, let's say, close to 90% well done. Then, of course, there is also that 10-15% that we go through the same process I just explained a couple of times, and then we make sure that we are 100% clear on what the execution is. If I need a report, I would write the template of the report, and I would also fill it out what I need and point out where each KPI number is being sorted from and show them that as well. Other things that are important in my opinion is what I was mentioning before. If we need to start a new task, I'd rather get everyone involved in a call, go through everything, ask questions myself to people to see if they understood, have my team members asking me questions and clarify any question that's important. Now, it's also important to communicate changes that are happening. They could be in the company, or it could be at the department level, or for a single person. It's important for me to always explain from the start why certain things should be done in a certain way. And as I said, I'm open to people explaining their point of view, their vision, their perspective, and then we can align. Clear communications comes with listening as well.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. Deep listening is really important, right?
Yeah. So that's the thing, being able to see what needs to be done, to then listen, have questions, ask questions. And many times I'm in situations where I have an idea of how to execute a strategy or a project.
Mm-hmm.
And we put everything down, and then everyone is clear. Then we start the execution, and maybe there are some issues or problems that we didn't figure out. And in my instructions, of course, they were not included because it was the first time doing it. So the team comes back and tells me, hey, we have all of these, let's say, blockers or challenges. We think we can do it this way, and this way works. So also them being able to come back to me and communicate that, and of course, me listening also, and me to work together and say, okay, great. So let's do that, right? That's important. Or what I consider clear communication, it's feedback as well. Working on a design, if we're redesigning a part of the site, or it could be marketing, collaterals, material.
Right.
Also there, when you give feedback, you need to be clear. So if I'm opening up a site, I will tell you, hey, look at this CTA here. Maybe instead of being circular, it should be a box, a square. If you want this color, I want this effect here. So being detailed with the feedback is also allows clear communication again, in order to have the designer understand exactly what he needs to execute on and be faster. Be able, of course, we work with the design team for many years now, so and each other as well, but it takes time and being clear on what you want as well as what other people want. So yeah, it's key. It's key for any company, clear communication.
Thank you so much for making us understand what the importance is of clear communication. And most important, like how to do that, what expectations to set, that would be very helpful for our audiences. I do wanted to now ask you about taking advantage of technology for collaboration. So in this modern era of technologies where we have so many softwares and essential tools to build our business, or tools that will assist in managing our team, from a leadership perspective, can you share how to take advantage of the latest technologies for collaboration?
Yeah, sure. So I like to divide this into two parts. One is the tools that are necessary to do our work. And another one is tools that we would bring on to improve the work that we're doing. Okay. I think that's very important to separate, because let me tell you, like, you need a CRM in order to sales, right? There is no more the time of, I mean, you can still use an Excel, but you understand that it's not as effective and helpful, and it doesn't update and it doesn't automate as much. So
right.
I could say HubSpot, but so many more tools, Salesforce and all of that, they help you with your output, managing your output. And there are tools that are essential to certain lines of businesses. Like for us, we have to use tools like SEMrush to check our site performance, right? Our approach is that whatever is essential, we need to have it. But we're talking about a relatively limited number of tools, right? A project management tool, a CRM tool, market analytics tools, of course, Zoom. Like in our case, we use Teams and Microsoft package. These are the basics to do the job. Then there are tools that can help improve the quality of what you're doing. For example, I mean, nowadays, everyone, we're all in the world of AI, as we know. So we're testing multiple tools that can help us what we're already doing, right? And the rule we have, the SEMrush, is you test quickly, you see if it works. If it doesn't work, you cancel the subscription right away. If it works, we include it or write guidelines to use the tool or include it in our current processes, guidelines, checklists, train the team and use it efficiently. If we come across a better tool, then we will switch, right? What I think is key here is don't waste money. Use the tools that are necessary to your company. You can already be successful and run a successful business.
Right.
If you want to try different things and improve the quality of your work or the efficiency or both, you must test, right? But this test,
indeed,
the worry there could be that you end up having a subscription to 30 new tools and you maybe use three of them. So right. It's important to be organized and to have a process. And that's the process we follow. We test quickly. We see if it can be integrated in a current process or not.
No.
Cancel it. If yes, we update the guidelines and start to use it right away.
Okay. Thank you so much. And that actually answers another question that I had, was how to actually use the right set of tools and how to make sure the team is also like comfortable using that, but you clearly outlined that as well. And it's very important to understand like which tools to use to your advantage. And then I like the idea of not having so many tools with so many subscription fees associated with it, but use the right one. And if that works, then create processes and sheets or tutorials, or even like having those integrated by a coding process would be really, really helpful for use of tools. So now I would like to talk to you about cultural sensitivity and inclusivity, because I feel this is an important topic, because when you're working with people from different cultures, you have to be acknowledging those and like respecting each and individual's culture to feel employees like more accustomed or feeling like more in a friendly environment. And you share like how managing a global team requires understanding of diverse cultures and work habits?
Yeah, sure. I mean, 100%, it requires a lot of understanding, first of all. I was been lucky enough to have lived in different countries, lived in four different countries so far. I lived in countries where they were also quite international. I mean, I live in the UK, where you can meet a lot of different cultures, for sure, and other places like that. So I do understand that it's really important to, first of all, learn. So again, we go back to listening, right? And understand other people's viewpoints and habits, right? So how to do things. And with that, you're more tolerant as well, because if you know the context of where certain habits come from, even if they are not in line with your culture, right? Like you might be more tolerant of letting certain things pass, right? That's very important. So within the company, what we do, what I do, but what we do in general as a company is also understanding that, yes, we have people all across the world. So certain people might be naturally more shy, right? Or within that culture, other cultures, in more or less, their religions, there are like different ways of cooking food, as well as maybe talking to colleagues or to superiors within the company. So we always need to be very mindful. That's why I go also back to clear communication, because one of the first things that I do for any new employee that joins the ZyRush, I like to have a chat with them. It's a brief call that I have with each single employee, where I tell them, if there is anything that makes you feel uncomfortable, you don't know who to talk to, if you think it's your manager that says something that makes you feel uncomfortable, but if you do realize that they do not have an understanding and you don't feel they would make change, my door is always open. Yeah. So it's important that, because I have that understanding, I like my employees to come to me and tell me, hey, usually, let's say we don't, in our culture, we don't reply to manager's feedback, even if we think he's wrong, right? So I think my manager is doing this and that, but I don't know how to address it with the manager, right? So I'm there and I said, well, look, tell me, because what we can do is I can sit down with the person, maybe show them another viewpoint, maybe show them that it's a different culture from their culture, right? So they need to take certain steps and be able to listen and approach this in a certain way. So these things are really important in order to run smooth operations, a successful business. And then, of course, take into account the people that we hire, and we want to hire people. When I say smart, not just smart at the work, also emotionally smart, and understand that maybe you might not know something, but you can learn about it, right?
Yeah. I really appreciate that thought. And also, I would like to know from you, can you share some tips how to lead multicultural team effectively?
Yeah, sure. First of all, understanding each one's strengths, weaknesses. You can also understand where to hire for certain roles, right? You might think, okay, there are certain areas, forward facing and really upfront, and that's how they speak. Like, I can think of, we hire a lot in the Balkans, for example, in Europe, right? Mm-hmm. And we hire in South Africa as well. And usually these are people that are more outgoing or more open to a conversation. Maybe if you hire in certain areas of Asia, the people are more respectful and quieter, you know, and but then they have skills, they are bilingual, they write in English perfectly. And so when you build the team, you need to be able to build based also on strengths and weaknesses of each person, each area are, and all of that. When you come together, and then it's important that the team leaders, the managers, are trained and understanding how to work with a certain team member or with a certain team from a certain area of the world, right?
Right.
And that's how they are mainly trained as well, to understand. I can give you an example. We have a news team that made of writers, editors, editor-in-chief, etc. In that team, there are 5 different nationalities, probably 4 different continents.
Mm-hmm.
So the person in charge of the team has been trained by me personally to understand, you know, how to deal in certain situations with certain people, because a writer could be from Portugal and he has a coach. Another rider, it's from the Philippines, and another rider is from the Americas, right? Mm-hmm. And each one needs something different. So it's really important to understand those differences. And I do have a team that is quite international, meaning I do have team leaders, managers that have been themselves traveling and living in different places and understanding this, or who they have the chance in their life. I'm usually the one to take charge of training them on this and telling them that they must come back to me with any sort of questions or doubts, because I can help them decode certain situations and make sure to say the right thing, because sometimes it is misunderstanding. I do ask the employees to also give me feedback on the other side, because if there is understanding, I'm all for communicating, speak up and find a solution. I understand that some people would not be comfortable with that, and that's why they're going to go through me. to make sure that I'm going to protect them and the situation and make sure to address it with the manager in the right way.
Thank you so much. That's wonderful advice. And I'm sure the different managers or different type of persons working in the leadership position can definitely leverage advices from those. I really like your technique of having the conversation first, setting out some of those acquaintances and just having a bit of a friendly feeling just before diving into the work. I love that strategy that you shared, Gianluca. I want to ask you, it's important to set clear expectations when you do expect better work from the employee. So it is very important that the expectations are really clear and what they need to do, what they need to achieve should be outlined clearly. I want to talk in this aspect now. The need for setting clear goals and expectations from day one, I feel is very important. Mm-hmm. Can you share your perspective on this or how someone can do better in terms of setting clear goals and expectations?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, this is something that we pay a lot of attention to. Of course, we also had a learning curve with this, but mainly what we do is from the very first touch point, which is posting the job ad online, we're sure to include the goals of the role as of the responsibilities and the requirements. But to me, goals are really, really important because that set from day one clear expectations. From that, we move on to the interview process where we repeat the goals and we actually provide more specifics on the goals throughout the process till, of course, the last interview and the offer. When we send the offer, we re-include the goals there as well. That's just to tell you how important for us to basically set clear expectations. And once someone joins, of course, these goals are outlined, but we are completely open to also listen their point of view and if they would make any changes. And that's, of course, then it's a conversation that we can have. But then again, this connects back to then ownership. So if you're hired for a certain role, if you feel you can achieve certain goals, if you were briefed on these goals from the very beginning, even before you actually were selected for the job, then we expect these goals to be achieved. And if they are not achieved, we expect to see someone that cares, that is dedicated, someone that is going to do what it takes to get to whatever goals the role sets for them, right?
Right.
So it's more of a mindset. And if we see that, again, common sense is really important. I always tell my team members, you might reach 80%, 90% of your goal, but if you have give it all, and if you're going to give it all the next time for the next time, you eventually going to reach 100%. It's just about how you set yourself either for success or for failure. And it's about consistency, right? Consistency is key. And of course, dedication. But dedication is the foundation of consistency and everything else, you know?
Sure, for sure, for sure. I completely agree with that. And I really, really appreciate how the way that you think and how you emphasize like setting clear expectations are and the strategies that you follow clearly visible in the amount of success that your company has achieved. So I can correlate with that. I'm really glad to have this conversation today.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you a follow-up question on this. While a person is working with you, spending their time and dedication to build your company's growth and reputation, I feel it's also important for that same employee to develop professionally for themselves. Because the more professionally they develop, the more development they put to themselves, they can deliver the same thing for your company. They can provide better outcome for your company. Can I ask you in this aspect, how to keep the team aligned with the company's objective, but also with their own personal and professional development?
Sure. Yeah. So first of all, one great thing that we do here at Design Rush is that we are very much on top of new trends, and that kind of makes us want to try and test new things and multiple things and this goes for every department. Well, definitely when it comes to employability and helping our employees increase their employability, we're definitely coming up with the latest best practices. It's actually, I have had a few employees that left, of course, as is normal, though, and we are still in talks, and they told me that the skills that they learned and they brought with them from Design Rush to any other company, they made them look like superheroes when they arrived in these companies.
Right? That's wonderful.
That's a very good testament of what we're doing. Oh, yeah, I'm pretty happy with that. And of course, when it comes to the company goal and vision, repetition is important. We are all human beings and we can forget here and there and lose focus. All of that, for example, we're paying a lot of attention to the content that we're producing at Design Rush, both video, audio, but also written content. And we want to make sure it aligns with our target audience, you know, our marketplace. So after all, we talk to our target audience, agency owners, agents executives, and business and business executives, or, you know, when it's a bigger brand, definitely like brand C-levels. And yeah, everything we do, we want to make sure that it speaks to them, because we are an expert in helping them find each other. We have a lot of agency experts in our team that can talk to how agencies can grow. As well, we have a lot of people that run their own businesses or are in C-level positions in our businesses, and we want to show businesses that we can help them find the right agency partner. And not only because we cover a lot of top brands and top agencies and the latest trends. So yeah, what I'm saying here is that everything we do needs to reconnect our vision, and we do constant trainings with our employees, from sales to marketing to content, product, etc., to make sure that that vision is shared. And ultimately, I rely a lot on my managers. I have more meetings with them than with the full team. And of course, with them, I make sure that their vision is aligning with the company vision. That's how we do it. Then, of course, we also have company meetings where we discuss all of this with everyone. However, when you speak to 100 people, you cannot make sure that everyone really is engaged in that conversation. So I do prefer smaller setups, starting from me with my head of departments, them with their team, and that team that can be broken down into the middle management and the specialists, you know?
I really appreciate your thought on how not only you're working to strive for your company, but also thinking about the well-being and also their personal development of your employees. It's often not possible to pay heed to what an employee per se needs to develop professionally, what tools and support they need. But you having those in mind really shows your appreciation for your employees. And I think that should be the benchmark, the best practice that employers or the leadership team should follow.
It's always a give and take, nonetheless. To be able to give to your employees, and they need to be able to feel they are receiving in order to add value to the company as well. Give back.
I wanted to ask you now about autonomy and accountability in employees. So can I ask you, dear Gianluca, how to empower autonomy and accountability in employees from your thoughts, and just how to strike the right balance between giving your remote team that autonomy and holding them accountable for the results that you would like to see?
Sure. I think kind of touched on this previously, but what is most important is to understand again what your goals, what your role are, right? Okay. To understand how that gives you accountability, right? Then the question is if you want to take ownership. So right. Once, and that I'm saying this because fortunately or unfortunately, everyone is different. And there are some people that eventually they just not cut out for the role, any whatever role it is, you know, and maybe they'd be better at doing something completely different. They're just not good at a specific thing that they're trying to do. I know I'm not good at basketball, so I'm going to try something else, basically. It's important to be understanding of once you have ownership, then you need to be able to execute on what you agreed. And if for any reason you cannot execute, then there is communication and there is expectations. Because if you can align on expectation and communicate that properly at the right time, which probably are better than later, there is always a way of sitting down, use common sense and figure it out again. Right?
That's
important. Now, when that process of accountability, ownership, alignment, and results works, that's where autonomy comes in place, in my opinion, which means if I see that a person is responsible, is executing, understands what they need to do, reports, communicates properly, all of that stuff, then they can be autonomous, because at that point, you're setting the expectations. I usually ask for, it depends on the person. It could be a daily, a weekly, two times a week report where I can get feedback on what is happening. What is really important for me is to look at the numbers. If I see that certain numbers don't align with our goal or vision, it's where I would jump on a call and investigate further with a person. If everything makes sense and is moving forward, then that's great. Because that person, their next step would be to be a manager, right? Or to people, or to lead a project, not necessarily have a team, but maybe have like a cross department of projects. Mm-hmm. So at that point, it's really about then being proactive and also out-of-the-box thinker, right? And that's where you progress in that direction. And the more problems you can take away from me, the more, as well as creating value, right, the better it's for you. And I totally believe in that. I honestly really hate micromanagement. The problem with that happening is really when you realize that this person is either not doing the task, not listening in a different way, then it's more about sitting down, sort of realign expectations. Then really the problem is that many people confuse that, rather than help, they put the wrong pressure, the wrong expectations on the person who's trying to execute that.
Indeed.
Yeah. That's when the micromanagement happens, and that's why we see it as a negative thing, right? Mm-hmm. I do say, if you can help me understand it better and then I can do it better, I welcome that. Call it micromanagement or call it support or call it whatever you want to call it. When the frustration comes in and people are not able to get tasks done, and then you need to have multiple people, one person fully involved with doing your job, then probably the other problems that need to be addressed, because honestly, no one should come to the point of micromanaging anyone, to be honest.
For sure. Micromanaging has its merits and demerits, but at one point of time, if you're doing a regular thing and then you have to be taught each and every time what needs to be done, and then involving other people to do that, it's not time efficient. Although sometimes if someone is not understanding a certain aspect, they can reach out to their manager to get a better understanding, but it's also the expectation that they have that understanding in the next task, right? And that's a continuous building process. So I completely agree with you. Let's talk about your company now. I'm really excited to learn about Design Rush. So let our audiences know what Design Rush is and what does your company do and how can it benefit others.
Design Rush is a leading B2B marketplace. We connect verified agencies from web design, marketing, software, branding with businesses. They are looking for service providers and they're looking for these services. We generally focus a lot on the digital part. As I said, we have software developers, marketeers, web designers. Also, we cover other services like business services, from accounting to outsourcing and all of that. We work with the US market, our clients are mainly from the US and the brands that come to Design Rush as well. We offer two ways of connecting businesses and agencies. One way is through our directory, where the business owner can go and see our best agencies by service and pick one of them, or reach out to multiple of them and then get proposals, or through our marketplace, which means that you can come to us directly, submit your project requirements, and we will shortlist 3 to 5 agencies that meet the requirements and connect them. What we found our agencies really love as well, they, of course, they're looking for new clients. That's number one priority. But what they really, really love, it's the recognition that they get through Design Rush. We have a panel of design experts so reviewing we have a section that is called Design Awards. So basically they're reviewing the work of our agencies and they are promoting the best work. And we do monthly awards. And we also are doing yearly awards. So the best of them. Every month, we like to give visibility for 30 days to a number of agencies. But also at the end of the year, we will award the best of the best and give them a long-term exposure for 12 months on our site. The last part to our site is our section trending brands. That's actually pretty interesting because we cover here everything that is related to marketing, technology, and growing brands. And here we give tips. We give the latest on what is happening in the world of brands and agencies. Now, it's quite interesting because many of our readers can get inspired on how to grow their own business. You can learn about a specific marketing campaign that could work for your company, or you could know the latest on, let's say, ChatGPT video or visuals tools, right? As well as we announce the best agencies that work on certain projects. So let's say that you're an healthcare company and you see that we're talking about the number of agencies that have this expertise, you might want to check them out, right? So pretty interesting. And also we give a voice to a lot of agencies that didn't have a place where to go. That's what I always ask our clients, right? I ask them, where can you go and promote your latest project that you landed with Nike or Reebok, right? Where are you talking about it? You won an award. Where are you going to share that? And this section, Trending Brands, is really like their place where we give them a voice so they can talk about themselves as well.
Thank you. I really appreciate Gian for it. Sharing that and what your company does. And I really encourage our audiences to check out the website, www.designrush.com. For audiences who are listening to this episode in an audio format, if you do have any questions or comments or want to know more about Design Rush, please feel free to reach out to Gianluca. If you go to our website, www.activeaction.fm, and search Gianluca's name, it's Gianluca, then you'll see Luca's webpage over there, which contains links to his socials and the website as well, and his bio as well. So if you do want to get in touch with him, please feel free to do that through that. Thank you so much, Gianluca, for joining today's podcast. And I really appreciate your valuable knowledge and advice that you shared with our audiences.
Thank you, Dr. Nazif, and thanks for having me here on your podcast.
So, dear listeners, we were just talking to Gianluca. I hope you enjoyed the episode. And if you do find value in our content, please don't forget to provide us with a tip at www.activeaction.fm/tip. Stay active, take action. I'll meet you in the next episode. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for joining us on the Active Action Podcast at activeaction.fm. We hope today's episode gave you some entertainment, fresh perspectives, and a little extra motivation to take action in your own life. Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you enjoyed the show, share it with someone who might love it too. Oh, one more thing. Become our premium supporter and get access to expert articles and strategy guides on personal and professional development, and enjoy lots of other exclusive features. Get started for free. Visit our website, activeaction.fm/supporter, for more information. Take care, stay active, and take action.